I'm really impressed with the number of persons that are so intelligent to spend their New Year's Day chanting the holy name with devotees. Would you like to know a secret?
It's Say
a
yes.
Secret I can't tell you. But I'll tell you anyway, but you got to keep it a secret. I travel a lot. That's not the secret. And because I'm always in front of new audiences, this audience, of course, I'm somewhat familiar with, but it's good to know who's new. So one of the ways that I can tell who's new is sing Jai Radha Madhava. Because the people that are new, they don't know the words. They smile and their heads are... But they don't know the words. That means you're new. Because the people that are not new, they know the words and they love the song. That's a secret. Don't tell anybody. So there's a number of new people this evening and a number of very experienced devotees with us this evening and a range in between. So just a little sharing of what we've been doing so far. We have another half a day to go during this New Year's weekend. As we've been discussing and singing and chanting and dancing and discussing and taking prasadam on the topic of removal of impure things from the heart is a stage in, there's nine stages of devotion, beginning with some preliminary faith, enough that Krishna sees, oh, they have some preliminary faith. Let me send them some good associations, sadhu, holy person, saintly person, carrying my message. I'll give my mercy to take that preliminary faith to the next stage. No, persons can say, no, I want to stay where I am. But if they say yes, they can go to the next stage, which is they do with the sadhus what sadhus do. That's a nice poem, right?
I'll put it in my file.
But do with the sadhus what the sadhus do. And that's bhajana kriya, engage in bhajan. Bhajan means activities of devotion. And that's three stages already out of nine. And then the one that follows that is the one we've been discussing. The removal of those things that are in the heart that really shouldn't be there. Even the ones that we're attached to that shouldn't be there, and the ones that we're not attached to we can't get rid of that shouldn't be there. Impurities of heart. Anartha. There's a Sanskrit, many of you from India. Dharma, artha, kama moksha. Artha. Artha. Artha, in the common use of that term, it's people engage in dharma, their religious duties, so that they'll get artha. Prosperity. Commonly it's economic development or, but it's, artha literally means something that's wanted, and most people want some money, so they can get the third thing, kama, sense gratification. That's the plan, somehow it doesn't happen exactly like that, so they keep working on the artha program, and maybe forget the dharma program, but that's the sequence. And anartha means something unwanted. So there's things that are unwanted in the heart, and how to remove those things unwanted within the heart, because it's subtle. So you need a very powerful cleansing agent, a good commercial. Stronger than anartas is the process of bhakti properly performed. And of all, skipping a lot of things, of all the different processes of bhakti, especially for this age, age of Kali, is the chanting of the holy name. And when one chants the holy name without offense, then even once, according to Rupa Goswami and our acharyas, the stage of ecstatic, spontaneous loving attraction for Krishna awakens in the heart. It's like taking a match out of a matchbox and going, shh, the fire comes out. There's fire stored in that match, and here's how you bring the fire out. So the ecstatic bhava bhakti, ecstatic, spontaneous loving attraction for Krishna spontaneously awakens if you chant the holy name without offense. The potency is there in the name. The potency is blocked because of the unwanted things in the heart. Problem. There's a very, one of many of Rupa Goswami's wonderful verses. He can recite it. I'll just say the English. He's like Mr. Sloka King. I do not know how much nectar is found in the two syllables Krishna. When that sound vibration is in the mouth, Krishna is dancing within my mouth, literally, and I desire many, many mouths. And then what happens? That sound vibration, when it enters in the ear, there's such nectar. I desire millions of ears, and that would look kind of funny, but it's desire for drinking that nectar that's so sweet. Millions. And then the third. And when that holy name, Krishna, enters into the courtyard of the heart, my mind becomes stunned and my senses become inert. This is a stage of bhava. There's only one problem. There's things in the heart that block the sun of the holy name, like clouds in the sky block the light and the heat of the sun. Although it's midday, you can't feel the heat, the full heat or the illumination of the sun if there's clouds in the sky. So similarly, there's clouds of anarthas, unwanted things in the heart. What's the verse?
Tunde tandava nirating batanote tundavali lobhaye karna krodha kadhangani katayate karna budhi vyakspiham Chetak prangana sangini vijayate savindriyanam kutim no jane janikaki abhinamitai krishneti varnadvahi.
And we got the translation already.
Yeah.
Rupa Goswami, one of his introductory verses to his drama Vidugdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava. So, how to get rid of those unwanted things in the heart requires coming to the stage, progressing to the stage of what our topic is this evening, overcoming offenses when chanting, because when one offends the holy name, the anarthas aren't removed, in fact they increase. So that's the root. We have to pull out the root so that we can remove those unwanted things in the heart, and when we chant, that ecstatic love for Krishna is felt on the tongue, in the ear, and in the heart. Offenseless chanting, overcoming offenses when chanting. So that's the topic, and I have about 8 minutes left. So I'll just speak three short points and then turn the microphone over to Dravida Prabhu. One point is from our great acharya in the line of succession of great acharyas named Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, in describing this anartha nivritti, or the eradication of unwanted things from the heart, the best method is chanting without offense. And there's one thing that one can do that takes care of all other things, and that is being attentive when chanting, or say the opposite. The root problem is to be inattentive while chanting, because to be attentive while chanting, well, the mind is restless, right? Chanchalahi mana Krishna. Arjuna says to Krishna, how can I do this process that you're describing, fixing the mind, when the mind is so restless? It's like candle in the wind, so flickering. How to keep the mind steady? Well, when there's impure things in the heart, your mind goes to those impure things in the heart and it blocks. So the practice of striving to become attentive, you know, in Buddhism and in personalism and in mantra meditation, be present. In our case, be present with the holy name. So striving, whatever the technique or method or something, behind it is the effort to do so, the effort to come to the position where you're with Krishna. And in the presence of Krishna starts in the form of his holy name. So Paul, it's got a ring back. Fix it. So that's one point. Striving to be attentive, striving to be present. It's just like, this here's a very simple example. You invite somebody to your home, and they ring the bell or knock the door. Maybe they're such good friends, they just come right in. And they say, hello, and you say, oh, I'm busy over here, see you later. Or you don't even say that, you just keep yourself busy over there and don't even say hello. And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and that's rude. You don't do that. You come and greet them and say, I'm busy, and let me finish up what I'm doing just a moment. And similarly, the abhinatvam nama namino, the name of Krishna is Krishna. There's no difference between nama and nami, the object or the name, and the person named. So when we call Krishna, he's there. Jiva Goswami says something. He writes, Krishna is such a person that when one even utters the first syllable, Krish, he's attracted and he's immediately there. You know, there's love songs about, call me and I'll be there. Just, you don't even have to get half his name and he's there. Always, eternally, in any circumstance. Om apavitra pavitrava sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham. Just call his name. He's there. And we're inattentive. Our attention is elsewhere while we're calling his name. So strive to be attentive. It's just polite. Be present with Krishna. Second point. Something that helps greatly is to understand the name and Krishna are non-different. I mean, it's a fact. It's a transcendental fact, but we're not used to transcendental facts. We're used to something material. Like, let's say, you know, we start talking too much and it goes late and you're hungry. You can think about prasadam, but thinking about prasadam and the prasadam are different. It's upstairs. You have to go up the stairs, sit down, get your prasadam. But Krishna is non-different. You just think of Krishna and Krishna is there. You say Krishna's name and Krishna is there, because the thought of Krishna and Krishna, the name of Krishna and Krishna, they're non-different. I'll just share this with you. This past weekend was Christmas weekend. We had a nice japa retreat in our temple in central New Jersey. It's a nice temple. And one person who's been chanting his 16 rounds every day for 7 years shared with me afterwards, for the first time in 7 years, somehow, based on what was shared and spoken, I had this experience that the name and Krishna were not different. And I've never had such an experience before. It was, I didn't want to stop chanting. I didn't chant 64, I chanted 84. And I didn't want to stop. When we have a sense that the name and the object named is different, water, 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 and the object, water, and the sound vibration, water, they're different. But Krishna and his name are non-different. That helps us be present with Krishna. That's number two. And number three, and I'm done. Number three is read Prabhupada's books. Because the acharya for chanting of the holy name, the teacher by example for the chanting of the holy name, is a wonderful associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Haridas. And he has the title Thakur because he was so wonderful, so learned, highly learned in the chanting of the holy name. He wasn't through academic education, it was through realization of chanting of the holy name. And he taught, you cannot get the full effect of chanting the holy name without proper understanding of the relationship between everything and the source of everything. Sambandhagyan is in Sanskrit. Those of you from India, you know the word sambandha from Hindi. Sambandhagyan, knowledge of the relationship of everything from it, the source of everything. You may not have realized it yet, but at least the proper understanding, the grounding, gyan, knowledge. And if you don't have that proper knowledge, you're not going to get the, we'll say it nicely, you're not going to get the full effect of chanting, or say it more strongly. You'll be engaged in furthering those unwanted things in the heart. Even from the good activity. You'll be doing the right thing, heading in the wrong direction. It happens. So read Prabhupada's books. They go well together. Put it mildly. The chanting of the holy name, which makes the heart, here's what Prabhupada said about this. That which makes the heart pure is the chanting of the holy name. Side by side, like two tracks of a train, you need something that guides the activities of your life. Proper sambandha again. Supposing you have just something that makes the heart pure. Well, sentiments can increase, but sentiments can be misguided. In this world, it happens. Religious sentiments misguided can become fanaticism, and that's very dangerous. But then on the other hand, if you just have knowledge without a heart that's pure, then that's insufficient also. So both, side by side, like two tracks of a train. Chanting, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, make the heart clean. And, side by side, guide all the activities of your life. It's a complex world that we live in. Somehow it seems to get more complex than others sometimes. Knowledge that guides your activities. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the sublime purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports. And this young gentleman over here is one of the chief editors for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. So one of his favorite activities, I'm sure you're going to get a taste of, and that is diving into the ocean of those messages, particularly the verses or slokas, that are mines of jewels that are effulgent and help guide our lives on the path to Krishna. So, little review. Be attentive. Be present. Strive to be with Krishna when chanting Krishna's name. Two. Meditate on, try to somehow enter into the realization, take it into your heart, that the name is Krishna. It's not there's the name and then there's Krishna. The name is Krishna, and by chanting, he's with you, you're with him, spend time together in the mood of humble service, appealing for Krishna's kindness to lift you from the material into the spiritual realm. He does it. Just ask him. Try it. And third is become deeply absorbed, or read regularly, systematically and regularly, Srila Prabhupada's books. There's so many of them, keep you busy for a lifetime or two. Assimilate them. Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti, Sadavaha. Make the heart pure, free from those unwanted things. Hare Krishna.
What's left to say? I'm going to need help, so I'm going to call on Prabhupada. Om jnana tamarandasya jnanandana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. I was born into the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master Srila Prabhupada opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance to him and to all members of Sri Parampara, the cyclic succession. So one of the things that's so encouraging about Krishna consciousness is to learn that it's natural, that everyone has this perfection of love for God, love for Krishna, which entails eternal life, full of bliss, no anxiety, no depression, no need to take Prozac. Is Prozac still liquid? Anyway, you understand what I mean. That's our natural state. And everyone here, human or not, every living being on this planet and other planets, has lost touch with that natural state. And one of the other things that's really encouraging to learn is that Krishna wants us to come back to that state and come back to his world of service and love and wonderful pastimes. We're in the minority here in this material world. Now, I never knew anything about that growing up. 25 years spent. I wouldn't have thought twice about anything like that. Completely identified myself as a American male living in Long Island, doing whatever, doing all this stuff. You know. And nobody around me knew anything about it. But then, by Krishna's grace, by great good fortune, by the efforts of the devotees, I received one of Srila Prabhupada's books. I was fortunate enough to be near the temple where Maharaj was staying then, in Ramapada Das Brahmachari. And when I visited, I was taken. I was fascinated. I was enlivened by it. And so I pursued it by getting more books, reading, taking prasadam, associating with devotees, and then taking up the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. And it was when I finally joined, after about a year of trying not to join and, you know, just trying to be a guest, and finally Krishna wouldn't let me do that. It was like entering a new world. It was a different world. And it's a world where the underlying assumption is, like we have in this, everywhere in this world, is that you're in competition with everyone else, and everyone is more or less, you know, they may be nice to you, but there's an undertow, they're trying to sell you something or exploit you, you have your friends, but they may not be your friends for long. In other words, the ordinary world of Kali Yuga, competition, false, what we call false ego. So then I was fortunate to take initiation from Prabhupada in 1974, and that meant chanting regularly this Hare Krishna mantra and following the principles, strict principles of renunciation, and doing service. And I've been doing that for since 73. And but you soon learn when you're in devotional service full time and you're serious, and all of you are serious to one degree or another, is that it's a path. It's a marga. It's a bhakti marg, it's called. And that means that, yes, this is our natural state, but for a long, long time, for many births, countless births, we've been cultivating competition, a consciousness of competition with Krishna, and what we call material consciousness, looking for happiness and security in this world, in the world of birth and death. Now, it's completely illusory, but still, life after life. As Prahlad Maharaj so eloquently says, punak punas charva ta charvananam. How many have heard that phrase before? Yes. It means, again and again, chewing the chewed. In the modern age, with everybody's face fixed to some kind of screen, again and again, viewing the viewed. Right? I saw that before. I made that joke before, but it never failed to ring true, right? So, but then if you're fortunate enough to learn about Krishna consciousness and take it a little bit seriously, you understand the importance of a whole different perspective on life and the process of devotional service. And central to that process is the chanting of the holy name, chanting a Hare Krishna mantra. It's so simple. You know, a child can memorize it in about 30 seconds. It's not complicated. It's about the easiest mantra you can imagine. But it's the Maha Mantra. It is the Maha Mantra. And we learn from the Upanishads that this particular mantra, Hare Krishna Hare Ram, you can search through all the Vedas. They're very vast. And you will not find a better means of counteracting the ills of this age and reaching perfection. And here it is. Srila Prabhupada came, he's just giving it out. We gave out how many mantra cards? Millions. Chant and be happy. Here it is. Here's the mantra. You know. But, as I say, it's a path, and you soon learn, yes, that to come to the point of chanting purely, without offense, is not so easy. One of the offenses to be avoided, is to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. Now, we have these material attachments we have, which are centered on the gross and the subtle body. Some of them are relatively easy to give up. Just as, I'm not going to ask, but I assume the vast majority of the people in this room are vegetarians. Well, I'm a vegetarian, but I didn't start out as a vegetarian. I was used to going, I remember, believe it or not, I'm old enough to remember when McDonald's opened in America. And it was, oh, now we can just get these hamburgers. It was only like 19 cents at that time or something, you know. Hungry, you got, you know. But that's like, you know, you have to give that up, right? Well, there's prasadam. And the prasadam makes it easy to give that up. But after you renounce so many things and you're on the path of purity, you realize there's different layers, there's so many layers of attraction and attachment. And those attachments are binding us to this world and preventing us from experiencing the full power and glory and nectar of the holy name. And so this is why Srila Rupa Goswami, who's the prime disciple of Lord Chaitanya, and codified the process of devotional service so beautiful in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of devotion, which Srila Prabhupada gave us as the nectar of devotion in English, where he talks about the offenses to the holy name. And one finds that if the more that you, first of all, know them, and that's why the importance of reading and associating with devotees is so important, and working on yourself, it's an internal process, many of them, in order to overcome these desires. And then to go back to our original point, Krishna will help you. Krishna will help you. You have a certain material desire that's very difficult to give up, you see? Well, you chant Hare Krishna, you pray to Krishna. There's so many prayers. Maharaj mentioned that I like shlokas. My mind always thinks, beautiful prayer from Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti was one of Krishna's aunts, you know, the mother of the Pandavas. And in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Purana, which Srila Prabhupada's great opus that he started in India and he kept writing and got into the 10th canto every night. And he, in the 8th chapter, we have the prayers of Queen Kunti when Krishna is going back to Dwarka after the battle of Kurukshetra. And it was a very emotional scene. And near the end of her prayer, she has this beautiful verse. You know, and I have, of course, Sanskrit, but I can give you the English. It says, Twai me ananna bishaya matir madupate sakrit ratamun vahataradha gange vaugumadhanviti. O Madhava, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of thee, not any other kind. As Ganges torrent flows into the sea, let all my love flow constantly to thee. They chant that mantra to your worshipable deity, Kishore Kishori, Varagirid Hari, whoever it may be. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. In that frame of mind, praying really that Krishna will himself destroy that desire. And this is what happens. Krishna consciousness, the process of bhakti, is the process of the transformation of the heart. Transformation of all your ardent desires. There's a beautiful set of verses in the 25th chapter, 3rd canto. This is the beginning of Lord Kapiladeva's teachings to his mother. Lord Kapiladeva is an incarnation of Krishna. And these 8 verses focus on the importance of association with devotees. This is why Srila Prabhupada strove so hard to establish these temples. You know, he said, as far as I'm concerned, I can sit under a tree and chant Hare Krishna. But who's going to come for the Sunday feast? You know, who's going to come and visit me? So these temples are places where we can gather, we have the deities, the prasadam. It's where we can help each other to be Krishna conscious. So what he says there at the beginning of his instructions to his mother on the importance of sangha, like sadhu sangha or satsang, is pasangam janam pasham atmanak kavayo vidu sehe vasadhu shukato moksha dvaram apavratam. I love this verse, I put it into a little poem. It says, mundane affection keeps us tied to birth and death infernal, but love for sadhus opens wide the doors to life eternal. You see? So it's a change of heart. Pasanga means strong attraction. So that same word is used a few verses later about devotional service. Satam pasangam mamaviriya samvido babandi ridkhan rasaya nakata. By getting together with devotees, and here's satam, advanced devotees who like to chant Hare Krishna and who love Krishna, what will you experience? What do you experience? Talk about Krishna, glorification of Krishna, Harinam Sankirtan. And it's a process of devotional service that gives you faith and gives you a taste for Krishna and brings you along the path of attraction to Krishna. So all of these attractions, these attachments that we have for this world need to be purified and begins with association with devotees. And gradually we see that Krishna is the most attractive. You don't have to have any prerequisites in order to begin chanting. Anyone can chant from any state of life, any station of life, doesn't matter. And feel some of the effects. And on the basis of that understanding, read and hear, purify the intelligence and understand what is the holy name. As Maharaj so eloquently put it, it's non-different from Krishna, it's Krishna himself. To realize that, it's inconceivable. But to realize that is a very advanced state. But we should know theoretically. So when we chant Hare Krishna and try to hear the name, those 2 basic principles, we're associated with Krishna. And that association is purifying. And the purification takes place on many levels. And one of them is that Krishna is attracting us. And everything about Krishna becomes interesting. It can manifest in a simple way as simply deciding, it's Sunday night, where should we go? Should we go to the movie? Should we go to the bar? Or should we go to the Krishna temple? Let's go to the Krishna temple. I remember there was such a sweet kirtan, he'll go there. And that decision, gradually the other options fall away, hopefully, is Krishna attracting you. And that attraction, there's no limit to it. Ultimately, the attraction to Krishna blossoms into more and more taste for everything related to Krishna, especially the holy name, like this Rupa Goswami. Why did he write this verse and teach us? He's saying it's not just for me. Anyone can experience Krishna in this way. This nectar of the holy name, so attractive. So that attraction is something that we have to consciously cultivate. And that's where the offenses come in, to know them. To know that blaspheming devotees who have dedicated their lives. Well, this is a world of blasphemy. Aren't there whole careers in showbiz made out of just criticizing and ranking on others and making jokes about other people? You get onto the internet, the Facebook, it's just one blasphemy after another. Isn't it? In other words, it's just like come second nature in this age, the age of Kali, right? Criticize. But in Krishna consciousness, you realize, oh, you know, devotees are very special, and really we shouldn't unnecessarily criticize anyone. It's an act of aggression. So that may be something we're used to doing, we don't do it. You have the choice to do it or not to do it. This choice, after all, what is our life? It's just making one choice after another and deciding to do one thing and not another, right? So that knowing the offenses, for instance, demigod worship, you know, I mean the demigods, we don't disrespect them. We understand that all the demigods are really expansions of Krishna. Whatever powers they have are given by the Lord. So we don't worship them separately. But by no means do we ever think that, all right, I went to the Krishna temple and it was very nice and I saw Kishore Kishori. It was very sweet. But now I have to go and worship this other demigod, another guy, in order to cover my bases. Right? Because I don't want to miss out on some other benefit, you see. That is an offense. We have to give up that mentality and worship Krishna solely. Now you can understand that by reading Bhagavad Gita, as it is. It's very clear, and Krishna makes it clear. Don't worship anyone else but me. Only those whose intelligence is stolen away by material desire do they worship other gods. So by hearing and studying the books associated with devotees, then you get inspired to follow the path of bhakti and to come to the point of pure chanting. And there are steps along the way. This association and bhajan and then making a firm commitment. Often it means really initiation, taking vows. Because the mind is always ready to, you know, it's saturated with material desires to take us away. So we need all the effort or all the help that we can get. And that includes the process as it's been laid down by previous acharyas. But the wonderful aspect, again, is that Krishna is helping us. He's on our side. Other processes of advancement, whether it's just material advancement, you're trying to get a degree, make money, whatever it may be, or so-called spiritual advancement to get some mystic powers, or to try to be liberated without any reference to bhakti. Krishna's not helping you personally there. You know? But as soon as you call his name, as soon as you go down the path of bhakti, even one step, Krishna helps by giving intelligence, by giving inspiration, by sending his representatives like Srila Prabhupada to dedicate their lives to helping us and to teach us the true thing and to show by example how to be a devotee. So Krishna wants us to come back. The natural state, again, is that we're in a loving relationship with Krishna. He never stops loving us. We're the ones who've turned away and forgotten. So when he sees, just like a father, right, how many teenage kids run away from home and go to, you know, San Francisco, be on the street. The parents, the father, he's always waiting for that call, the text. Somehow or other, the child will reach out and want to come back. Yes, 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 I'll send you a ticket, come on back. So Krishna is the father of all. He says in Bhagavad Gita, aham bija padakrita. So he's waiting for us to turn to him, and we make the effort to learn what pure chanting is and the path to get there, which includes avoiding the offenses, chanting purely. And we'll find that we'll be able to make progress. It depends on our sincerity and our true effort. So the facility is all there. This temple has been here for, what, since 75, 76? Many, many years, over 40 years. And it'll be here for another 150 years. And then it will expand. It's not going to go away. So we have a great opportunity to learn about Krishna consciousness and learn about this chanting of Hare Krishna, which is the beginning and the end of the whole process. Never stops, even in the spiritual world, they're chanting Hare Krishna. So this is the process, and the goal is there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
We did it. We finished ahead of time so you could ask questions. Gauramani, you have your hand up already.
Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble best.
Hare Krishna.
This is a very good conversation, and I've been hearing sometimes in Sankirtan, we change the word Rama to Ramo, and I'm wondering, is that offensive?
I'm going to answer. Oh, is my question? Well, you know, one little letter different changes the meaning. And we should learn the proper pronunciation. So, but at the beginning, it's not so important. In other words, somehow or other, someone's chanting. There's a pastime where one of, in India, some of, you know, when Prabhupada first took the devotees to India, some people were complaining about how these Westerners are pronouncing the word, the name Krishna, you know. And not exactly, Krishna is actually, you know, the orthodox pronunciation. Is that the R, the S, and the A are cerebrals, and the N are cerebrals, which you should pronounce with the tongue on the top of your mouth, like Krishna. Who pronounced like that? It's Krishna, you know what I mean? Krishna. But Prabhupada never really, he never emphasized that. He never taught us, you know, they're hearing Krishna and they'll learn to pronounce Krishna. Much later they can learn if necessary. And even if it's not necessary, if Krishna knows that you're calling to him, By the word Krishna instead of Krishna, so what? But as time goes on, some pronunciation like Ramo, you know, if that's really what is coming out, that's not proper. It's just like if someone calls your name, what is it? Is it Gauravani? Gauramani. Okay.
Yeah.
The jewel of the golden avatar is what it means. Money is jewel. And I say Gauramani. Would you like to take prasadam? And what are you going to say? You know, my name is Gauramani, it's not Mani. Yeah. And you're not annoyed because someone didn't know, but if they keep saying it like that, you say, what is this? You know, my name is Gauramani, it's not Gauramani. So the idea is that just like if someone, Krishna says, if someone with love and devotion offers me a fruit, a flower, a water, or a leaf, I accept it with love, right? But if we have the Sunday feast, and you go to the Sunday feast, and there's some water, there's a flower, there's a leaf, and a fresh fruit, would you expect? Would that be good? No, because that's good the first day. I feel good the first hour, you know. But the idea is that after you learn the proper way that Krishna prefers, we should do that. We should pronounce it that way. So you don't, you know. The chances are that what happens, because I've heard that too. Is that in the course of the particular melody or the way they got into a habit of doing that. And it's not some, you know, program that they're trying to put out. We should say Ramo. Everyone say Ram, you know. No. And we should try to, my opinion is that we should try to correct that. So it's pronounced in the way that Prabhupada pronounced it. Listen to how he sang it and try to do that. That's really the bottom line. But you don't discourage someone if they're just chanting like that at first. That's the end. Hare Krishna.
That's an editor.
Valmiki, that's another one. He started with Mara, Mara, Mara. He was a thief. He was chanting death. The word Mara is the word for death. Don't make a federal case out of it. Let's think that.
Anyone else have a question? Anything? Yeah, in the back.
Hare Krishna. If one is capable of quieting their mind through meditation, would that not be recommended before chanting the holy name? Would that not be helpful?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Anukalyasya sankalpa pratikalyasya varjanam. But so that says you accept things that are favorable, reject things unfavorable for enhancing bhakti. Now, mantra meditation is meditation. It's meditation. Mantra meditation. So something that helps orient the mind to be in meditation on the name, fantastic. However, one may become not attentive to the name more than to the mechanic of something. And, you know, you could become, rather than dependent upon, as Dravida was so eloquently saying, depending upon Krishna kindly helping you, you're depending more upon your effort than Krishna kindly helping you. You become doership consciousness instead of depending upon Krishna consciousness. Take that which will help you reach the goal. Make sure you're focused on the goal. Okay, everyone wants to go to prasadam, looks like. Anything else? Nityananda Pran, you got something?
This is about the December marathon.
Okay.
And the announcement that you're kindly going to make.
Sure, I'm ready. So, you're going to do the marathon announcement and I'll do the other one, okay? Okay, go ahead. I'll do mine first or you do yours first? I'll do mine first, okay. We're going to do announcements now. You come up afterwards and we'll have a little discussion, whatever your question is, okay? So, Jitendriya? Jitendriya, how many years have I been coming to Chicago? He's our historian, I have to ask him. How many years has it been since I've been coming to Chicago? No, but here, in Evanston Temple, I lived for a year at the Evanston Temple distributing books. And then something else happened. The airport in Puerto Rico was opened, and Gajahanta and I were requested to go to Puerto Rico. I didn't speak Spanish, but yeah, I love adventure, so I went to Puerto Rico and distributed books. But then when I came back here, when was that? Mid-80s. And so now it's 2016, 2017. So 16 years plus another 15 years. So over 30 years, I've been coming to visit the Chicago Temple and then got some service here and so forth. And in the course of those 30 plus years, here comes Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. The slow curtain close. Very dramatic. Okay. I've made three other announcements. This is announcement number four. Drum roll, please. So, this is a transition announcement. Now, everybody likes good leadership, and they like good leadership that stays in the position of good leadership. From time to time, circumstances of life move a little bit, and transition is also needed. So you see in front of you two senior citizens, and both of us have to be training people who can take over our service, because one day we won't be sitting here, we'll be somewhere else. So it, with a view of succession, transition kind of thing, this is an announcement about that. We have an arrangement without all the details. It's taken about, I'm looking at Gormani because he likes organizational topics. We have a system where we'd like to cover the world. One of Bhadri Narayan Swami's favorite Prabhupada stories is the Sherman Williams logo. You know what Sherman Williams is? It's a paint company.
Paints.
And their logo is a bucket of paint is tilted on the side and some paint is pouring out of the bucket and covering the world. I can't tell the story like Bhadri Narayan Swami can tell the story. I've heard it 25 times, but Prabhupada kept looking and said, you know, looking out the window and saying, this is Lord Chaitanya, and everyone was wondering, what's he seeing? And it's the Sherman Williams logo. We're covering the world. We're covering the world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is covering the world. But we're not covering the world adequately, because we have only so many GBC people, and we need some other people doing that GBC work. And the short story is, there's a new office, or, you know, the structure of ISKCON is being looked at in such a way that there's GBC members, and the GBC members, Prabhupada said, may have any number of secretaries to do their GBC work. Pause. So we've created a structure, it took 7 years, where there's zonal supervisors that are in effect secretaries to GBC people that do all the work, except they don't have to go to those lovely meetings once a year. Now it's twice a year. But they do the work. That's called a zonal supervisor. And there's a college. Really? I mean, you train people these days? Yeah, we started to train people. And it's called the GBC College for Leadership. And persons who, before they can become a zonal supervisor to work under a GBC, they have to attend the GBC College. And it's a lot of work. Ask Nityananda Prabhu, he attended it. And, you know, it's not silly. It's very serious. And there's, in between, when you go to the college, there's online courses, and it's formally structured. In fact, the person that's the dean of the college is a tenured professor somewhere in California near Laguna Beach. Mm. And that he's world-renowned for what he does, and he's doing it to help ISKCON in a leadership college called the GBC College. And up to this point, it's being held in a place that Gauranga Prabhu, many of you have met him because Balaram very kindly invites him to come, and he comes, and he's, you know, he's a wonderful devotee, a super talented devotee. So in a project that he oversees outside of Bombay, in a place that sounds like something to eat, it's called Wada. So in Wada, there's a community, a rural community, and that's where they hold the college. So I'm past, you know, the senior citizen age and, you know, moving on. So there must be a plan for how the services that I've been doing can be covered. So Nityananda Prabhu is in a transition stage to that service to become a zonal supervisor for the Midwest. It's not going to happen right away, mainly because, there's many reasons, but mainly because I don't want people to, you know, be scratching their heads saying, you know, what does this mean, and who are you, and who is he, and what's going on, what's going on. So a gradual transition. He'll be transitioning from the position of being the temple president that you know and love, and he's not going to go anywhere. He's just going to transition to another title, zonal supervisor title, but not right away, and gradually. And his dear wife, who you all know very well, and is going to, as of today, she's the new temple president.
Doesn't she have to wait for the 20th to be inaugurated, or is that something else?
No, we don't have a lame duck system in ISKCON. She's the new temple president. And Nityananda Pran's position is he's in transition to, because it requires the entire GBC to approve a zonal supervisor. In addition to finish the college, and the local GBC says, I would like this person to be the zonal supervisor for such and such part of my GBC zone. It's not formally approved, and the other reason, there's other reasons. It's a transitioning in that direction. Many of you are aware of something like this anyway. This is the official announcement. And we have, in addition, to co-vice presidents who are already doing basically the same functions they've been doing, but now it's, you know, here we are at the microphone announcing formally. Radharaman is, where is he? Okay, Radharaman is a vice president. And he'll be looking after legal and financial. Did I get it right? Legal and financial. And, you know, that person that you all know and love, and we don't have to say too much about, Subal Prabhu, he's a vice president. And the areas of service are devotee care and ashram. Ashram means, you know, everybody's getting along in their duties and keeping the, you know, more devotees, happier devotees. That's his department. More devotees, happier devotees. That's his department. Subal. You stick around Subal, you become a happy devotee, and happy devotees make more devotees. It's a perfect fit for him. So, I hope you are happy with this arrangement, and I hope I don't have to make too many more announcements in my next 31 years of...
Thank you very much, Maharaj. I want to share something very, very exciting and happy about 2016. One of the things that ISKCON Chicago took very seriously is the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books during 2016 as our 50th anniversary year. And many, many devotees stepped in, went out on the streets as part of our, I guess, religious duties, happily to introduce people to Krishna consciousness by distributing Prabhupada's books. So I'm going to share some numbers, and I'd like to request His Holiness Rohanpad Swami as our governing body commissioner to hand out these certificates.
There's a lot of certificates. You want me to hand every one of them out?
If you don't mind.
Okay.
So for 2016, overall, we have distributed 42,500 books. And for the month of December, the December marathon, some devotees braved the cold, went out. And I want you to know, on Yahoo, there was an item, news item, that there was a period in December where Chicago was colder than how it was on Mars.
No.
Yes. So the devotees braved the cold,
wow,
went out on the weekends to distribute books, and in 1 month, for the December marathon, they have distributed more than 6,500 books. So I'm going to invite the devotees here with their names, so please come up quickly, and I know you want to clap, hold on, because I want to move this so that we can go
take prasadam
as well. So I'm going to come here. I'm going to start with...
I want to say something before you start with.
Yes.
Dravida Prabhu's main place of residence is in San Diego, and he has the good fortune of having as his GBC member Badri Narayan Swami. And Badri Narayan Swami, among his many other things that he does, is he has kind of championed making sure that we make our goal of 10% increase, etc., etc. And as far as I know, we made it, which means two things. It means that since the beginning of BBT history, I may be wrong, but I think I'm right. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it. Since the beginning of recorded history of BBT, of how much funds have been sent to the BBT, this year, US and Canada sent more funds to the BBT than ever in the history of the BBT, including during Prabhupada's time when it was rah-rah book distribution. And Badri Narayan Swami, of course, the main turbo has been Vaisheshika Prabhu. But, you know, others are helping in many, many ways. And Badri Narayan Swami regularly sends us the records of how the temples are doing in North America. And, again, I may be mistaken, but there's five temples. Chicago is one of those five temples that has done something like, what was the percentage, do you recall? No, the percentage of the total of this never been, you know, we're surpassed what has ever been done before. Something like 70% of the book distribution, or some large percentage, has been done by five temples in Chicago temple.